My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. Wow, how have I been living like this? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. More like, wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. We use Mint Mobile at the office and we have been saving so much money since switching over. And setting up a Mint Mobile's website was super easy. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/mom. That's mintmobile.com/mom. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/mom. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
All right, man. We're
starting right now?
Yeah, dude.
Do I need to tweet it?
Yeah, tweet it right now.
Did you tweet it? Can I just retweet it?
Yeah, just retweet it.
I'll just retweet it. I sent machine shirts to CAA.
Yeah.
And it's not coming up.
It's not coming up?
No.
Did I spell your name wrong?
Live with Bert Kreischer.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
We're doing it right now,
I'm
man.
I'm going to retweet that shit.
I'll do it right.
All right, so we're recording right now?
We're recording right
now. Okay, so, two things. Okay. First of all, did you know MCA died today?
Yeah, dude.
Motherfucker, I wanted to be the one to share that with
you. Yeah.
Why is it that I want to be... Do you get excitement when you share that someone died with someone they don't know?
It's a huge thing.
The junior sayo thing?
Do you know... Okay, what's that noise, first of all?
It's not my podcast.
You hear it?
No.
You don't hear a noise?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, hold on. Let's see if it's me. Wait. Is this gone now? No, it's still there.
That's gone now.
It's usually cables.
It's gone now.
It is gone?
Now it's on.
Come on, man. You know who fucking fucked this up?
Who?
Blue Band.
Who's Blue Band?
He's this producer that I work with.
That's not it. Now it's gone. No, it's back.
It's actually worse.
All right, so now it's gone, definitely.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, man.
It's not bad when you don't talk, though. Like, just plug it in when I ask you a question and respond to my questions.
This is fucking killing me. Fucking asshole. Oh, my God. Dude, we just did one a few hours ago.
Here. There. Now it's gone. Now it's gone.
All right.
There. Perfect.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, MCA did. I was saying, do you get pleasure in sharing this?
Can I tell you what happened to me the other day? Okay.
Yes. Okay, but hold on 1 second.
Okay.
But you only get pleasure in sharing the death of someone you don't know, but everyone knows.
Of course.
Like, no one is excited. Like, I can't wait.
You know, Kevin?
Yeah.
He's dead. And they're like, who the fuck's that? Yeah.
Oh.
No, it's got
to
be.
Wait, I want to tell him his dad's dead. I want to be the one to tell him. Dude, you're never going to fucking believe this. Guess what? Your fucking dad's dead. Shut up. Shut the fuck up. How did it happen? It just died, man. Stroke. Like, your dad's dead as fuck.
No, it's. I was in line. I was going to another meeting a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And right before the meeting, I go to Starbucks downstairs, outside of the offices. And I'm like third in line. And this little Asian guy in front of me goes, fuck. He turns around and I was like, and he goes, Junior Seau just died. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah. And I was like, are you serious? And I was like, yeah. I go, oh, I got to tweet this shit. Hold on a second. And I pulled it out right away, and I tweeted it before. It wasn't trending or anything yet. And then
the first person?
Yeah, I had to be. And then I go up to the meeting, and there's like managers and agents and executives. Oh. And then I'm like, did you guys hear about Junior Seau? And they were like, what? And
wait,
I got like,
I got like that. Your meeting.
But I got so excited that moment to break the news. I'm not excited that he's dead.
Yeah.
I was so excited to be the bearer, like to be the messenger.
Yes.
To be like, guys, are you ready for this? And they were like, what? And when I saw that they didn't know,
It's like having power.
It was a drug. It's absolutely a drug.
It's fucking like where you go, you're never going to believe what happened.
Yes.
Like, especially with like, oh man, that is the craziest.
Dude.
Like, because we've had so many people die in our community. But like when you get a phone call from someone, you're like, shut. It's almost like people relish in bad news. Yes. I sometimes think Leanne relishes in bad news.
Your wife?
Yeah. She genuinely will love talking about tragedy.
Do you know where I think this comes from, by the way?
What?
I have a theory on this about like sharing that stuff and like what the way that like the way you feel. I think it's born in your childhood when you don't have the ability to really captivate people yet because you don't have the mind. You're not really interesting enough. But if you are the messenger of captivating news,
yeah,
you get this type of attention you didn't know existed. Like when you're 7 years old, if you go, guess what? So-and-so died, right? Adults will be like, oh, really? And you get this.
Yeah, you get attention from. Do you think that's inherent in our human DNA? Do you think there were cavemen
yeah.
that would come in the cave and be like, you're never going to believe it. There's fucking dinosaurs out there. They ate Mukluk.
Mukluk is dead.
And they're like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, we're not
I bet it wasn't fun the day before they came up with a phrase, don't kill the messenger. The guy was like, then they, he's like, I don't want to fucking tell him the king's dead. Just, I don't want to tell him at all.
Yeah, because the messenger had to die a lot back then.
Oh, God. Don't kill the messenger. That's a great short. It's titled 2 days before the phrase don't kill the messenger shows up. And they're like, hey, do me a favor. Can you tell the king? Oh, no. I don't even know the king. Why are you telling me to tell him?
Let me give them this is our first broadcasted live podcast.
Oh, great.
So this is we got to give them.
Who is Randy?
What's this?
Don't the bring intro. Anyone loving to this.
Your mom in the fuck is dead.
Welcome to your mom's house with Tom Segura,
and Christina Pajitson.
Welcome to your mom's house.
I know.
Can I show you something?
Yeah. Hold on 1 second. I just thought because he's dead, we'd give him a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I looked out the window, seeing this poor head. Ran to the fridge and called out an egg.
This is such a good album.
Yeah.
Lost that shot, he was caught out there. Saw the convertible.
Driving by. Loaded up the slingshot, let one fly.
You know this shit.
Oh, my God.
The egg.
Speaking of that,
yeah.
You ready for this? I'm about to drop some. I'm about to
new death.
Blow, about to blow you away. That's right.
You just it's a camera right there. It's just be,
oh, shut up. Are you serious?
That's cameras on
oh,
you.
Oh shit. Oh fuck. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking...
Kid,
the one thing he said to me is, do not get this to anyone. Are you fucking kidding me?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you this. Right now, there's only 1,000 viewers watching live. So there's barely anybody.
Jesus Christ.
No, there's only 118 current watch people, but it's only going to be downloaded like, I don't know.
Yeah. No, great.
30,000, 40,000 times.
So then let's not talk about it so no one goes
Can we
back.
See who it is?
What?
Can we say who it was?
No, you can say who it is.
He just showed me Vanilla Ice's phone number. You have Vanilla Ice's phone number?
You mean Rob?
Rob? Did they tell you to call him Rob?
No.
I'm Rob?
No, he didn't introduce himself as Rob. He came up and was like, hey, I'm Rob. And I was like, I'm Bert. And then I was like, two things. First of all, he's a big motherfucker.
He is?
He's like probably, I would venture to say I'm going to say 6'2",
mm-hmm.
which I never thought. And mm-hmm. he's got big ass hands.
Really?
Massive hands. And like you acknowledge how big his hands are.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And he's cool as shit. Hung out all last night. And then the end of the night, he was like, man, when you come down to Miami, we got a party. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I will abuse your celebrity until it gets awkward. And I was like, fuck yes. And he goes, take down my number. And then he said, listen, man, do me a favor. Please don't be calling me at like 2 a.m. going, I got Vanilla Ice's number. And I was like, I promise I won't. I swear to God.
No, but just
saying people aren't tweeting.
Just random strangers have his
okay,
number.
Okay, good. People like, you couldn't see it on the screen.
Okay. Damn.
Thank God.
Fuck.
Thank God. What
Dude,
if I
Dude, why
done
are you guys
that?
Ruining it, man? You could have fucking
so, yeah,
thrown
so
him into a
we
real
hung
panic.
Out. We had a blast last night. Like, we did upfronts for Travel Channel.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Do you know? Do you know Giada?
Giada.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Type in Giada. G-I-A-D-A. Giada De Laurentiis.
Okay.
She is on Food Food Network. She is smoking hot.
Giada. Okay. Pulling her up. Let's see. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. You know who she is.
Yeah.
Smoking hot. She does. I think she does. I forget the name of her show, but she hosts everything like Food Network Stars.
Mm-hmm.
She is the brand icon of food with Bobby Flay and Alton Brown and Rachel and all those guys.
She's got a nice set of tits on her.
She is. Well, I'm a coworker of hers, so I couldn't really see that, but I will acknowledge she's smoking hot.
Yeah.
So
some nice hangers on you, Gia.
Giada.
Giada, you got some nice milkers hanging from you.
Easy. Come on. You're making this uncomfortable. I didn't notice that at all.
Man.
Flying to New York from LAX in the first class lounge. We were both going to New York on the same flight, and our flight was delayed by 8 hours. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I drink home before I fly.
You?
Yeah, I do.
You do drink a little bit.
I take a little bit. So I start drinking before the flight, and then we're delayed. So now I'm already drunk to get on the plane, and we're delayed. So by the time I find out we're delayed now 8 hours, I've been drinking for a solid 4 hours, and I'm hammered, okay?
Yeah.
I go up to the front, and I go, hey, my flight, I think my flight's delayed. And she's like, yeah, it's going to be delayed 8 hours. And I'm like, oh, that sucks. So I go to turn around, and I see Giada.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, I've been doing what I've been doing for upfronts for the past 4 weeks. Just what I'm doing now, I'd done a year ago.
Right.
And I'd seen her face everywhere, and I know we both worked at Scripps. But I'm drunk, and I want to say that to her, that mm-hmm. we both are, our networks are owned. And all I say to her, hammered, drunk, as I grab her by the shoulder, I go, we're owned by the same people. She like blank stares me, like terrified, like, huh? And then, of course, in my head, I'm like, Bert, you're not making this clear to her. You need to clear it up. So then I grab her.
Does she know who you are at that point?
Oh, no, but that's all I'm about to do.
Oh,
because I look in her face and I go, the conqueror, right? She has no clue who I am. And she's like, thanks, and walks away from me. And I'm like, oh, that went really poorly. And I was like, when she comes back after getting in line, I'm going to say something to her. So she comes back and she walks by me again and I go, now I'm trying to be casual about it. So I whisper, Scripps, 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 because that's who owns us. And she walks away from me and disappears. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. So last night I run into her for the first time again, and I'm like, this is going to be, I hope, I want to acknowledge that I was awkward, but I want her to know that I'm not a glue. So David Bromstadt, who's on HGTV, sees Giada and is like, Giada, I need to meet you. And I'm standing talking to David Bromstadt. It's just talent in the room. So she comes over, introduces herself to David, who is the picture of HGTV. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Very friendly. And
you're talking to him at this point?
I'm standing next to the two of them talking.
She's like,
and I'm waiting to introduce myself.
Creep.
And she's staring at me out of one eye like, how do I know this guy? And so then there's a break in the conversation and I go, Giada, I'm Bert. And she goes, nice to meet you. And David's listening. And I go, we actually met one time in an airport, and David Bromstadt's like, she's never gonna remember that, honey. She flies all the time, and I'm like, well, I go, we were in the first class lounge going to LA, going to New York. I was kind of drunk, and I grabbed you, and I said, we're owned by the same people. And her eyes drop, and she goes, the conqueror. And I go, you remember? She goes, fuck yes, I remember. Are you kidding me? But she is like smoking hot.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you, these fucking hangers.
Those Scripts, man, when we do these upfronts, you hang out with these people that are funny. Like Debbie Mazar. You know who Debbie Mazar is, right? She's an Entourage.
Yeah.
Okay. Debbie Mazar and her husband have a show called Extra Virgin. And it's all about Italian cooking. Her mm-hmm. husband's an Italian guy who's absolutely fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
He tells me yesterday, he goes, hey, I got into pork. I like this thing called Scripa. Scripa. You know Scripa? And I was like, no. He goes, it's like a pancetta, but fat pancetta. You never had Scripa at all. And I said, no. And he goes, I had to get poisoned a couple times before I figured out what and was not Scripa. I'm sitting on the couch, get some Scripa at Ralph's. They got Scripa. Really cheap, like $2 for a bag of Scripa. And I'm eating Scripa. And Debbie comes in and goes, what the fuck are you doing? And he goes, I'm eating Scripa. And she goes, motherfucker, you're eating bacon. He ate a pound of Oscar Mayer bacon. He goes, I got a poisonous soul bad.
Did he not cook it?
He just ate it raw. He goes, even not for the poisoning, it's not so bad. Tasty. I've never laughed so hard. He just ate a fucking box of bacon. Can you imagine? Can you imagine walking in and seeing Bush just eating raw bacon? She goes, I'm Debbie Mazar. You can picture her Bronx accent. Motherfucker, what are you doing? You're eating bacon. No, it's Greba.
It's Greba. It's Greba.
He goes, shit. Oh, my God. I was laughing so hard at his presentation. You have to give a presentation of these things, so you got to go up and kind of pitch your show. And him and Debbie had clearly not, like had just kind of decided to wing it. And he walks up, and he smacks her on the butt, and then goes...
The movement has begun.
What the fuck?
Oh, you know what that is?
What?
The Ustream runs commercials while we do the show.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it fucking sucks. That's what that was.
That's horrible.
Okay, so what you're saying, the presentation...
Oh, everyone's got to do a presentation, and everyone's is like... It's really frustrating because I'm on stage doing stand-up, so I expect mine to be better than everyone else's, but everyone's fucking awesome. Like
they're all killing?
Oh, everyone murdered. Vanilla Ice came up to Ice Ice Baby.
He did?
And man, let me tell you something. 700 people went fucking bananas.
And I bet he knows how to work a crowd, right? Yeah.
Just little things. Like he goes, you know, they go, so Rob, how did you get into this business? He goes, well, I was 16. I wrote Ice Ice Baby. And the place went crazy again. And he's like, thanks. And he says, I still do music. Just really knows how to work a fucking crowd. Very casual. Talks about his old place that he bought when he was rich and then like on Vanilla Ice. And it just looked like a nightclub. And then he's like, I was growing up. I started learning about earth tones. I mean, he really knows about fucking building.
What does he do?
He has a show. You've never seen it?
No.
On DIY Networks. It's one of my favorite shows. The Vanilla Ice Project.
Yeah.
Oh my God. He goes in and just fucking, and he's been rebuilding houses while he hasn't been making music. So he's just been rebuilding houses because he had all this fucking money. And you know, Florida's a flipper's dream.
Yeah, that's all they do.
And so he goes in and he does it like his style, what he likes. And he likes kind of like cutting edge, newer stuff. Like he's building a house now that's got an infinity lazy river.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a slingshot in his backyard, like a human slingshot.
Really?
Yeah, I've never genuinely enjoyed someone like more.
Does he still make music?
Yeah, he still does music.
He does?
Yeah, but he's got like me and your sense of humors, and he goes, oh, have you seen the new Converse? And I was like, no. And then he showed me a picture, and it was clearly a picture of some dude's junk. And I was like, he's like, gotcha. I was like, fuck.
All right, Vanilla Ice, man.
Vanilla Ice is fucking so cool. Yeah. And then Giada, Debbie Mazar, Pat, David Bromstadt, and me, I guess, was it.
So what do you do at yours? Like, what do you have to present?
I present our new show.
The show. Like, what is the show?
Trip Flip.
What is that?
Well, I'll tell you exactly that's it. Okay, this is exactly how the banter goes. So I walk up on stage. I go, and with us today to talk about one of his new shows is Bert Kreischer. And then I'm up with Andy Singer, who's our GM. And he says, so Bert, tell us about Trip Flip. And I go, well, the show is exactly like the title suggests. I take someone who's on a trip and I flip it. I take whatever plans they had and I scrap them. I become their tour guide. I get them to live out of the box and do things they wouldn't normally do on vacation. I turn tourists into travelers. I get them off the beaten path and out of their comfort zone. For instance, we took two housewives from North Carolina. They were just going to sit by the pool and read books all weekend. I put them in a wave pool in San Diego, a 10-foot wave pool on surfboards, and had them getting thrown around like rag dolls from Jackass and laughing their ass off. I took two girls in Hawaii, lit one on fire, but she caught on fire because we did a Hawaiian Polynesian like ritual dance where you dance on flames, and she got so into it, and we were wearing grass skirts, which we didn't realize would maybe catch on fire.
Yeah.
And her skirt and hair caught on fire. But like we take a private jet to, like this week we took a private jet to San Francisco and party with the band Train.
Really?
Yeah, Sunday I fly to Rome where I'm doing gladiator training.
Shut up.
Canyoning, getting a private fitting at Armani.
What?
Like, it's gangster shit. If you wanted to do,
you're going to leave with a custom suit from Armani.
You got it.
That's going to be tight.
Actually, I don't know if I will because they'll probably just do the fitting for the two
Oh, for the
yeah, which kind of fucking sucks.
It's gonna be nice though.
I'm gonna definitely slide in if I can get. Like,
what are you? Here's the most important question: which are you flying Air Italia direct to Rome?
Nope.
What are you flying?
American.
Do they fly direct to Rome?
Airline Loyal, no.
They don't?
I'm going through Chicago. Wait, Air Italia goes direct to Rome from here?
From LA, yeah.
Are you shitting me?
Yeah.
Do they have a co-share?
I don't know. They have the flatbeds and all the it's pretty nice little suites.
Fuck.
And you get really good food.
That sucks.
They're partners with Delta.
Oh, fuck Delta. I'd rather get the miles on and I don't trust Air Italia. Really? You know those guys?
I know.
All the pasta they're eating while they're flying. They're gonna get tired. Yeah, beating their wives and like wife beaters. That's the weirdest thing about Italy, because I've hung out with enough Italian guys to know that Michelangelo probably didn't have the most sensitive friends.
No.
Like you know, they were like downstairs. I'm about to do a bit on you. They were downstairs like, hey, Mikey, you want to come out and play? You're going to just keep up there chiseling cocks. Oh, David's dick's tiny, Mikey. Is that your dick? How come you don't make a big dick on David? Why wouldn't you put big balls on there?
Yeah, and then...
that's an old fucking bit.
That's really a bit?
Oh, it's an old... That's like from when I first started stand-up. It was one of the first things I wrote, like joke-wise, right after I went to Europe. After I went to Russia, I went to Europe and backpacked Europe, and I met the state in Greece.
Yeah.
You know, the comedy sketch group. This
really?
Met the state in Greece. David Wayne. Michael Ian Black wasn't there. Joe Latrullio. Thomas
Amy
Lennon.
Poehler.
Amy Poehler wasn't there. It was Carrie something.
Okay.
And so I met them, and I realized that night, I was like, I'm really funny. I want to be a comic. So then we go back up to Italy, and I start going, if you want to be a comic, you got to write jokes. So the first thing I did was we went and saw David in like Rome or Florence, wherever it is.
Yeah.
We go and see David, and the first joke I wrote was like, how crazy, because you know he made that in private. He probably didn't make it around people. So whatever the size cock he carved, that's clearly what he's familiar with. So it's probably his size.
Right.
So like, what if he had made it really tiny and he'd be like, what? Is that not normal? You know that he's, because it's marble, you can't add back on. So you know he probably made a huge dick first.
Yeah, exactly.
was like, take a look at his ass, but should I take the dick down? Is that too much dick? And that was the first joke I wrote, and then followed by... Italian guys probably aren't the most sensitive.
This is a perfect time to bring this about.
The Dick Detectives.
Dun, 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 dun. What song is this from? What TV show?
Hill
Street Blues.
No. This is.
Don't tell me.
That's not it.
Bum, 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 bum.
You don't know?
I really don't know.
That is from. Law and Order.
Oh, fuck yeah. Of course.
Order your alcohol with DoorDash today and drink in the savings. Use code YMH24 to get 25% off, up to $15 value on a $35 minimum subtotal on your next alcohol order for eligible users only. The alcohol selection on DoorDash is top shelf. With thousands of stores all over the country, you're sure to find what you're looking for and more. Beer, wine, mixers, mocktails, and more can be delivered straight to your door. Save up to 25% off, up to $15 value when you spend $35 or more with code YMH24. So whether you're grabbing drinks for an event or staying in for the night, DoorDash is here to help you have a great evening any evening. Terms apply. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Delivery and promotions available only in select markets. Your sex life is important, but your schedule is busy. You don't have the time to go to a doctor's office to get treated for your erectile dysfunction. Through Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. Hims is changing men's health care by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment, options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and 100% online. No uncomfortable doctor's visits. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/YMH. That's HIMS.com/YMH for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/YMH. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
So we have this game, the Dick Detectives,
yeah,
where what we do is we discuss, like, we'll bring up a celebrity, and hold on, what is going on? We bring up a celebrity, and then we talk about what we think their dick looks like, and then usually if there's a third person, the third person decides.
Okay.
So, but the other day we didn't have three. So, anyways, this is what we ended up doing the other day. We talked about you instead. So here's a
Wait, little, who are you with?
Christina.
Just you and her?
Yeah, just her and I. So,
oh,
here's just a clip from that show, and then you'll see where we're going from this. We're not going to let Blue Man play because he doesn't have the, you know, he's not quick enough, really.
No.
He just sits there. The way we could play this time is we could talk about Bert's dick,
mm-hmm,
and then he could come in actually on Wednesday and tell us the result.
If not, show us. I mean, we've seen Bert nude.
Yeah, I have a picture of his dick, so I'm kind of at an advantage.
You
do?
You put it on Facebook.
From Hawaii?
From Hawaii, yeah.
Why do you have a picture of his cock?
Yeah, he took a picture of it with my camera and then put my camera back in the...
Which you did.
You know that old move?
I remember. That's a timeless dude.
Yeah, he put it up his shorts. It's a real bad picture. I mean, if it were like a yearbook picture, it'd be the one you didn't print. You know what I mean? It's not a good one.
Wait, but is it like... But is it all dark in there? Can you see his cock for real?
Oh, the flash went off. It's lit up like Yankee Stadium.
I don't even remember if I did that for real.
It's real mushy, and like it looks like it's been through like a meat grinder or something. It looks damaged. Yeah, it's not
healthy.
He's got
like a real baloney dick, like pinky baloney.
It is not attractive. Let's just put it that way.
Well, now you know what his dick looks like, so this isn't really... Well, maybe I could guess. Do you want me to guess?
There you go. Yeah, sure.
And you and Bert can verify.
I'm just giving you looks. I didn't tell you what
it tastes like.
Or tastes like, and I didn't tell you size. I just told you it's damaged looking.
It's damaged.
That is the last way I want my dick to be described.
Deep, but not like with your hand, like with a claw hammer or something.
Like Patton Oswalt's penis in that movie Young Adult. Remember, like he some jocks took a tire iron to his penis, and it's all mangled. Is it like that?
But they don't show it. Yeah, they
no,
just
but
describe
he describes. Imagine if someone took something heavy.
So why don't you just, I mean, you know Bert, you've seen him, what do you think it's like?
Okay. Well, let's see.
Try not to get all worked up thinking about it.
I'll try not to frantically.
I know he is very enticing to most of the ladies out there.
Bert is
very sexual. Think of sexual thoughts with Bert.
Bert.
Oh my God.
I wonder if he goes into his cackle when he comes.
Oh, I love you so much.
What does that sound like, though? Like a pig squealing.
Yeah.
So, okay, the B-man, I'm going to go. I, for some reason, because Bert's got like real tan skin sometimes, like Bert can tan very easily.
Yeah. Got that good Florida boy skin. Yeah.
This is making me uncomfortable.
His penis maybe is like a shade darker than the rest of him,
like
I want
an
to say.
All right.
Like, you know, some guys have real, real like light pink weenuses. His might be like a shade darker than that.
Okay.
And I'm going to go for kind of like how his head is shaped, maybe. Like his head.
He has a really big, enormous head on his shoulders.
No. I'm saying like...
You think his dickhead is really fat and like...
Yeah, bulbous.
Do you think that the hole at the tip hangs open like his mouth does?
Please.
Do you, Ed needs to hear this.
Like? I know. And I think he comes Heineken. I think
it's just God, his beer. Insides just have to be rotten.
His shits have, we have to ask him what his shits smell
so
like.
So wait, what's the verdict? We have to,
I think the head is very bulbous.
Okay.
I'm going to go
like
for
a bell head.
Yeah.
One of those bell head
yeah,
talks.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Maybe long and lean with a bulbous head, and then darker in tone.
Size wise, what do you think he's at?
I don't know. You know, that's such a so hard to know. It's
well, that's
hard
the
to
game.
Know.
I know.
Tommy.
Break him down.
I'm going to go. I mean, listen, what man's going to admit to an average size?
I think Bert's the kind of guy that would admit
I gave you props.
The truth about it. I do feel like that. I think you'll get an honest answer from him.
Well, here's the thing is that I'm not really good with like inch. I wouldn't know.
Okay, well, the average man, the average penis,
is right about
6 inches in length when erect.
I'm going to go average. I think Bert's an average length, weenus.
Okay.
Like I said, I think for some reason the bulbousness, the bulb of the head,
a big fat old head.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it looks like his head, like it's shaped like his actual head that
he has on his shoulders.
Right.
Right.
That holds the brain in.
Okay. So he has a matching.
And then a gaping mouth hole.
Gaping mouth hole on his dick. Well, there you go, man. We'll get a verdict.
Yeah.
I mean, I could comment more, but I'd like to have the man here.
Right here.
On Wednesday.
When you were
we'll
supposed
see
to
what
come.
He says, you know?
Yes.
The Dick Detectives.
There you go, man.
It's great. Got,
yeah.
That's awesome.
So. Was that weird to
this
listen to?
This is so uncomfortable.
We really, I mean, I don't know how else to, we dissected your dick.
Thank you.
And the idea was that you would come here on Wednesday when we were here,
yeah.
and we could come, we really.
God, I wish I had come on Wednesday.
Me too.
It's too bad that we're not going to talk about it now.
How accurate were we?
I would say fairly.
Fairly accurate.
Yeah, fairly.
Is it? Are you a shade darker? Are you one of those guys with a?
I am darker.
In your junk?
Yeah. I don't want to talk about this. It's making me uncomfortable. How am I getting uncomfortable about this?
Why are you getting uncomfortable?
I don't know.
So are you like? Yeah,
I'm a tan person. But right. I'm not like an
Italian
guy.
You got one of those real dark eyes.
Yeah, I don't like. It
you
doesn't
got one
go.
Of those, like,
doesn't
dark
shade
brown?
Into purple.
Doesn't.
Like no. Like there's no red, dark red hues. No, I'm not like the ones you know. I'm just regular.
Do you have a lot of freckles or anything?
No, I don't have any freckles. Oh my God. I want to change the subject. Why are we talking like this is really gay? I'm uncomfortable. I can't believe this.
Let me see it.
No, I'm not going to let you see it.
Just under the table.
No, so
the cameras can't pick it up. Let me see it.
No. I've outgrown it somewhat.
You've outgrown your cock?
Yeah, because my body's gotten so much bigger, but it stayed the same size. So it looks like a squatter in the middle of a bustling city, like, hell no, we won't go. I'm sure you have too, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know what's really, like, sometimes I'll think that it's, I'll be like, I got a pretty nice size dick. Like, I'll be jerking off and watching porn or something, but then like I'll stand up and my hand goes around it too easily.
I'll be like, oh, it's not that big actually.
Like you grip it around like the end of a pool cue.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And you're like, that's the wrong side. Oh, there, that's yeah. You're like, I'm cutting my fingernails or cutting my hands.
I'm jerking off.
I remember the day I graduated to the hand.
Yeah.
To the whole,
like holding it
yeah,
up. Yeah.
As opposed to like a couple fingers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that was a big day.
I used to just play with the...
Got my driver's license the same day.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
But what was like the first
Someone
other...
keeps tweeting... They keep tweeting that their ads keep popping up every 15 seconds.
Yeah, I know. But this is a new thing. So like we're going to... I guess we'll have to upgrade our package like on Ustream.
Okay.
This is our first one. So I know the ads are popping up. If you're watching on Ustream, I'm sorry. I don't know what else to do. All I can do is... you know, try to figure it out and do the better time.
Are you going
to
pitch to Comedy Central the new idea we just came up with of the day before the saying came out?
The day before the saying?
The day before the saying came out.
What, the killer messenger?
Yeah, killer messenger. Close with no cigar. Like just the day before message sayings came out. That's really close.
Okay, yeah.
Want a cigarette?
Yeah.
Like just like watch them like trying to stumble around the concept. Oh.
Yes, I am doing that.
Oh, it's a great idea.
You like it?
Oh, yeah. I pitched to HGTV. I pitched them Blind Design, mm-hmm. where blind guys come in and design your house.
And you did not pitch
that. I swear to God. Because I said, it sounds like a joke. It's funny. It gets a laugh. But then I go, there's got to be a genuine blind designer out there. A designer who's lost his vision. Let's bring him in and have him design houses.
That's true. Yeah.
I also pitched Moat Crashers.
Moat Crashers?
Yeah, just like kitchen crashers or bath crashers or yard crashers, except this one just gives you a moat. Like, who has a moat? Nobody. Exactly.
Nobody.
Put moats around fucking houses.
Oh.
I would love a moat.
That is. You are good at pitching. You know that? You have a really good excitement about pitching. Do you ever pitch and, like, when you're at the end of your pitch, especially with, like, your style and personality, somebody just is, like, staring at you like...
Yeah, I just went to sell books. And really? Oh, yeah. And they were like one of the houses was just like, you know what's weird is, like, I'm not even going to talk about it because maybe they'll hear this and they'll be like, he was talking about me. But I guess I don't have a book to with them, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But they, like, it was like, they didn't even know how to sit at a, one person didn't, one group, or what, one person did not know how to sit at a table during a pitch. Like, you definitely have your arms on the table. Or you sit back. They just sat there with their arms under the table, like they were like, eating with their parents' friends.
Really?
And I was like, yeah, it was, it's very, book people are very different than
TV people. Are you
going to
write a book?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
You're
on video, just so you know. Okay.
That's really good to watch.
I don't know.
Now, you know that if you ever do write a book, you know that you just can't write laughing, like on the page, right?
Like, no, where they go,
no, you put a button at the back. You put a button at the back, and every time you press the button, you hear my laugh.
That would actually just be... And you have to insert, like, push the button now.
Push button.
Like, push button.
Like, just all you do is just put a little red dot. So every time they read that, they just hear me laugh.
Like at the end of every other sentence, button.
Yeah, button. And then sometimes it's just button. I can't hold it together. Button.
That would be such a genius book.
I've had some of the hardest laughs recently that I've ever had in my entire life. When we were in Mexico, my bodyguard was all dudes, our whole crew, and then Stacy, my field producer, mm-hmm. and we're in the van and we're talking about a Mayan schmear, which is one of the things we did, like a body treatment where you put mud all over the person's body. Yeah. You rub all over the person's body, but you got to have a Mayan person do it. Mm-hmm. And Luis was our Mayan.
This is for the, you did this on the new show?
On the new show. Jesus. And so we're in the van, we're driving home.
Fucking lucky cunt.
Don't tell me about it. Yeah, I know. And so we go to Luis. So Stacy, the, one chick in the van goes, Luis, it's like also 10 o'clock at night. If you had to give a Mayan schmear to anyone in this van, who would it be? And he just real quick goes, myself. And she goes, before me? And he goes, oh, I forgot you were here. She goes, wait, I was the one that asked the fucking question. And I laughed so fucking hard. There's audio of me laughing, of me just because I can picture it.
Yeah,
like when they say it, I can picture the thing happening, and I that visual makes me laugh so fucking hard that I can't hold it together.
Yeah, man, I totally get
love
that.
Fucking laughing.
Yeah, it's the best.
It's the greatest. Like, I hate having a cold because you have to kind of curb your laugh because then you're going to cough. But God, man.
You know what my favorite thing, when I listen to podcasts is I love hearing, like, the banter of people talking and then laughing. If they're laughing and it's like a fun time
if they're genuinely having a good time.
I feel like I'm hanging out. I really do feel like I'm in the room and that like I start laughing like they're talking to me and then I realize I'm alone. I feel weird about it. But
I was trying to explain how good Joe's podcast was to Lonnie, my old producer.
Yeah.
And we're in the car and I was like,
she's great.
Yeah. I was like, it's such a great podcast. You got to hear it. And I put it in and it was Duncan, Red Band, and Joe. And they were talking about having a dog. Duncan had a dog party where Red Band's dog showed up.
Yeah.
And Red Band was like, yeah, that was a weird party. And Duncan goes, yeah, because your dog's a slut. And Joe's like, what? And he goes, Joe, every dog in this party fucked Red Band's dog. I mean, I've never seen dogs form a line before. That Joe started laughing and I started laughing and it was like it's like you get it's like the reason I liked Jessica Simpson's show The Simpsons. Not that wasn't it. That wasn't it.
J- Jessica Simpson show, The Simpsons. Yeah, that was a hit show up with.
What was the name of her show? This Newlyweds.
Yeah.
Newlyweds.
Yeah. Yeah. Or The Simpsons.
I bet she pitched that first. I want to call it The Simpsons.
She probably did.
We already have something. How about OK Simpsons? That sounds a lot like OJ Simpson.
Yeah.
So, but when I watched their show, I really, truly enjoyed watching them do their show because they were always laughing. And yeah. I would end up laughing too.
Yeah.
And I was like, you just get into it. You'd be like, I'm having a good time.
Yeah.
But, I fucking laughed a lot.
Laughing's good, man. Laughing's a good thing to be around. Absolutely, man.
Yeah.
I can't. Now, what did you? How? When you flew private to San Francisco, were you like, "This is what I want to do from now on"?
I didn't drink.
Really?
Didn't drink.
You were just like, "This."
I got to the
nice one. Was it like a big one?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Here it is. It was when we got in it until we landed in San Diego or San Francisco, and we saw all the other private jets, and we're like, "Oh, our private jet sucks dick."
Oh.
Like, yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, some of them have stewardesses.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, of course.
The G6 is a fucking gangster plane.
Yeah.
It is insane. But, yeah, we get in.
Those are like $50 million, though, you know?
We pull up on the tarmac, and I had a, because I'm classy, I had a trash bag full of beer on ice. Because I was like, I don't know if they're going to booze. And then, sure enough, they have fucking total booze.
How much does beer dictate, like, what you do and where you go and stuff?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. I take that back. It does completely when it's a travel day.
Yeah.
I have no interest to drink. Like tonight, I won't drink. I won't drink at home ever.
Really?
Sometimes I drank. I drank last night at the upfront, so after all of it at dinner. But that's because everyone was drinking. But I don't really drink at home by myself or like with the family or anything.
Yeah.
But when I'm on the road and I'm flying, beer dictates the time I book my flight because I won't book it if the bars don't open. It dictates how my, like, I'm kind of trying to wrap my head around flying to Italy because I was like, well, I got to fly to Chicago.
Yeah.
I don't want to be too drunk so I can still get drunk on that flight to get, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, I get on a private jet. I have a thing of beers and my whole crew's on there. And we're sitting there and I go, and I'm being honest with myself. I'm like, as I always am, I'm like, I'm not nervous. And everyone else is getting nervous because it's a tight fit. It's a jet. They're small. And I'm like, I'm not nervous at all. And I was like, I'm going to try to take off sober and see how it works. Took off sober 15 minutes in, and I was like...
Why was that? Do you think you were cool with it because you were so comfortable or because you were so impressed with the actual aircraft? Or
honestly, it's because I could get a beer whenever I wanted. Like, when you fly commercial, you don't have that opportunity. You only get a beer, like, 15 minutes into your flight.
Right.
And so, in the whole takeoff process, I was like... Like, I was like, I know there's a beer right there if I want one. I can just grab one.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, I had no anxiety. When I go to, like, fly commercial, all the time. What am I talking about when I do?
Yeah.
All the other times I fly, like, I've got to plan my flight. So, like, in my head, I'm like, I need to have four beers before I get on so I can last that 15-minute, like, leg of when I get my next beer. And then a lot of times, I'll get my next beer, and that'll be my last beer.
Now, I don't see you, I've seen you, I've been with you drinking a lot before.
Yes.
You're not the kind of person where I want, like, after a few beers or even like a handful of beers that you go like, ooh, like he's kind of fucked up now. Like, you kind of hold it together.
Oh, is dangerous.
Does the buzz, though, the buzz that you feel, that's what makes flying easier? Like, you feel it and you're like,
oh, the second I feel the buzz, I'm like, my brain stops talking and like all the crazy thoughts go away. And so I just relax and I'm like, all right, this is
not a big deal.
I'm not going to die. We do this every single day. We fly in these.
But if you're sober, you have those thoughts.
If I'm sober, I'm like, oh, way to go, asshole! You just signed your fucking life away. I guess your kids are going to grow up without a dad. This is going to be great. They're going to be whores because you decided you wanted to go to fucking Omaha.
Would you be scared to be on a train?
No, but I recently started getting anxiety when, like, I'd have a driver drive me from San Diego to California to L.A.
Yeah,
and I had anxiety that whole fucking drive because I was like, this guy's all over the fucking place.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like an old black guy that looked like his name would be Slim Jim, and he just
Slim Jim,
and he kept texting, but he had the kind of phone where, you know, you had to, like, it was smart dialing.
Yeah,
so it wasn't, he couldn't just write what he wanted to fucking say. He had to A B C D.
Yeah,
I almost fucking died 100 times.
Yeah, I didn't know that statistically you're more likely to die on a train. You know,
really?
Yeah,
yeah. Trains.
Anything goes wrong on a train, you know.
Oh, it's fucking done.
Yeah, it's done.
There's if no like. Hits,
you ever see when trains collide? Oh, that is the fucking.
Great. I'm taking a train to fucking Rome to Florence, asshole. Can't wait. And I'm sure those are so up to
those
safety
par. Those are old as fuck. That is actually, I would say it's probable that you could be in an accident on a train coming up in Europe.
What makes you nervous?
I'm trying to think, man.
Because Push said that you genuinely are a worrisome, nervous guy who bites his fingers.
That's true. That's true.
But I don't know what makes you nervous.
That's true. I have general anxiety. Even though that like I don't. People always think that like, you're so laid back and all this shit. But I'm actually like, I'm always anxious. Not all the time, but like, you know, it's the kind of thing where if like. Like, I'll leave this meeting, let's say, and I pitch this show, and they're like, yeah, so get us the treatment or something. I'm just immediately like, start biting, like thinking about it. It's a thinking, like, as soon as I start thinking about stuff, I start getting...
No,
like,
do you second guess yourself after you've said things? Do you go into a meeting and then say some stuff, and then you get done, you're like, God, I fucked up, I shouldn't have said that.
I don't know, I don't think like that. I just go like, I wonder if that was any good. I wonder if I was good at that. I wonder if I was terrible. I wonder if they hate me. I wonder what they really think. That's how I think about it. Like, I'm like, I wonder if they think I'm a fucking asshole. Like, look, I wonder if they're like, that guy fucking sucks balls.
Like, I don't think like that. I never think people dislike me, but I do question why I say things. Like, when I did a show on FX or on Spike when Isla was born.
Yeah.
Or maybe when Georgia was born. It was a long... No,
I do say dumb shit. I've said shit that I'm thinking that I'm, like, rolling, like, being funny.
Yes.
And I've been, like... I was in a meeting with, like, the top executives pitching a show. I won't say what network, but I was... Like, all the top brass was there. And one of them was like, oh, this chair... Like, and I was saying stuff, and they were joking. Like, this chair's not very comfortable. And I was like, fuck them. Let them sit in that uncomfortable... And I thought it would be like, ha-ha! Like, they would laugh, and everybody was like... Why'd you just say fuck that guy? You know?
What an asshole you must have looked like. Fuck him. Fuck that asshole. Fuck you, you cocksucker.
And I thought,
God damn it.
I thought it would read funnier.
I thought it would read funnier.
Yeah, I thought it was the kind of thing that would play like, or they somebody asked me in a meeting the other day, same thing, talking shows, and I was like, they're talking about like, I don't know, some like the waitresses at comedy clubs, and I was like, those fucking pigs. They've come on to me before. I'd rather puke in my own lap than fuck one of those.
But you're missing the one octave that makes it sarcastic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The one like,
yeah.
Even there, fuck those pigs.
And like, everybody was like, uh huh. Like they all just stared at me. Like
last comic standing too. I walked out on stage. I'll never forget this. They go, ladies and gentlemen, Bert Kreischer, and they hold you back. And they're like, wait, wait, wait. Everyone's applauding. Wait, wait, wait. Because they're resetting cameras. Someone's getting off stage. And they're like, go. And then they let you go. And then the applause has stopped. And so you're walking to the mic on a stage, like from behind stage.
I use my phone all day.
Dude,
you're walking.
So uncomfortable.
You're walking.
Oh, this.
Oh. You're walking to the stage silent, right?
Yeah.
And as I get to the mic, all I hear are three black chicks in the back cheer for me.
Yeah.
And so I thought, all right, clearly I need to acknowledge that. So I get to the mic and I'm like, ugh, black chicks. I don't know why it came out of my mouth.
You just said, ugh, black chicks?
Like, but I was like, what I was trying to say is they'll never have sex with me.
Yeah.
Like, but I was trying to say something to the effect of like black chicks. They're never going to have sex with me. But what came out was like, ugh, black chicks. And everyone was like, this is on TV. And they're like, or like taping, and everyone's like, whoa. And I was like, they'll never have sex with me? Like real panicked, and they're like, And it was, I was like, motherfucker. And I knew Rich Voss was in the taping, like he was one of the judges, and I knew he was loving it. I knew he was like.
Of course.
I did television when I was doing the show on Spike. I was doing television in Tampa to promote the show.
Yeah.
Not to promote the show, to promote my stand-up. And they're like, so the guy goes, so you have a new show on Spike. Now, it was a new show, but I also knew it was canceled.
Mm-hmm.
But John Moore had told me that, and he's like, yeah, I think they're going to cancel us. And I was like, seriously? And he's like, well, yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure. It's pretty certain. And I was like, oh. So the guy goes, so you have a new show on Spike. And I go, it's canceled. And he goes, what? I said, it's canceled. And he goes, is this like breaking news? And I go, no, I mean, I guess so, yeah. I mean, if you don't know about it, yeah, it's canceled. And he's like, why would they do that? And I go, well, some shows suck. And I go, I think I'm one of that category. Like, the show wasn't that good. And he was like, really? And I said, no. And he goes, but you were on it. And I was like, yeah, but that doesn't matter.
And this is for what show?
This is for like morning TV.
Okay. But no, what about what show? Your show?
Fresh Baked Video Games.
Okay.
And he goes, well, why would it get canceled? I go, well, we're making a TV show about video games, clearly for people who play video games. But if you're playing video games, you're using your TV to play video games. So yeah. You're never going to find our TV show.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, that does make sense. And I went, yeah. He was all right. And that was the end of the interview. And then I left and I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, why would I say that? Like, and no one's going to want to have me promote anything, anything ever.
No, if they saw that tape, they'd be like, this guy's terrible in the air.
Thank God I've gotten better on press. But I was like, what the fuck is wrong with me? And I had a spiraling panic attack waiting for someone to call me as if Spike is going to get the local feed from their NBC affiliate in Tampa and call me and be like, what did you fucking do? We just lost the market in Tampa. The ratings are going down the sink. Like, you know.
Did you get a talking to about it or no?
No one ever heard it.
No one ever heard it. Real quick, remind me to tell you about what I did at this meeting before I was in when I worked in production that I fucking tanked. I gotta read this real quick.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Thanks, Bert.
Are we leaving now?
We are in a few minutes.
Okay.
We were talking about shit in meetings. One time I had a meeting, and before the meeting, like a couple hours before, my boss, this is when I worked in post-production on shows, he was like, hey, when we go to this meeting, like, you're a comic. This is like I was a couple years into stand-up. You're a funny guy. Why don't you do some funny shit? And I was like, what? And he was like, just make like a pack. Like, we're going to hand out the regular production packet. You make a packet and hand that out at the end. And I was like, all right. So I was like, just put together a packet. So I had like, they finished the meeting. They're like, now Tom wants to say something. And then it was like weird. Like, yeah. Everyone's like, what do you want to say? Like, I'm not supposed to speak at this thing.
Yeah.
And I had this packet and I was like, I started handing out the packet. And it has like weird, like, football stats. And I'm like, this is like who the best player of all time. Like, weird shit. People were like, all right. And then, like, one of the pages was a wanted police homicide poster because my neighbor had been murdered. And I was like, so my neighbor got murdered, and this is the description, and they're looking for him. And I thought it was funny. And everybody was like staring at me. And
oh, that's really sad. Someone lost their life.
And I was like, who lives in a fucking neighborhood where people get killed? And this girl was like, I'm from Liberty. This black girl goes, I'm from Liberty City, Miami. Like, this is like a reality of life. And I was like, yeah, but not for me. Like, my life doesn't have homicides all the time. And I was like, so if anybody knows who this is, and I think I made like a racial joke. I was like, it's probably like a Mexican or a black guy. But if you know, and then we got out of that meeting and I was like, how do you think that went? And he was like, I don't think we should do that again.
I said at dinner last night, someone at dinner, there's a table full of all the executives, and they're like, Bert, how long have you had the beard? And I was like, oh, probably like 5 years. And they're like, why the beard? And I said, well, I had a goatee, but I was like, I'm a fucking grown man, grow a fucking beard. I look across and there are three goatees at the table. And they're all just stroking.
Goatees are terrible. They're terrible.
Oh, it's like,
I've done this now twice. Twice I've done this, dude. One time, like 15 years ago. No, less than that. Like 12 years ago.
Yeah.
I went back to where I went to college, and I saw a friend of mine during the day at an apartment complex, and he was sitting by the pool. It was like a, there was a pool at the apartment complex. And I go and I say, I haven't seen him in a while, like a couple of years. And we're like, hey, talking. He's like, this is my friend, Jimmy. And Jimmy has like a, like he was obviously in the pool. And he has a towel wrapped over his shoulders and stuff. Oh, and he's God. Like, hey, man. And I go, what's up, dude? And I'm just talking to him. I'm like, all right, guys, like, I'll see you tonight. We're going to meet up at this bar. Everyone's getting together.
Yeah.
So we go to the bar, and it's like June. It's really hot, and we're in North Carolina. We show up at this bar. It's hot as fuck. And this guy has his arms, like pulled into his sleeves. Like, you know when you're cold and you're like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I say hey to my buddy Red, and then I turn to this guy who I just met, like Jimmy, and I'm like, dude, how the fuck are you cold? It's like, it's 1,000 degrees outside. And then everyone just looks at me.
Oh.
And then I was like looking at him, and then I'm like, uh-uh. And then Red's like, dude, he doesn't have arms, man. Like, he's not hiding them. They're just not there. And I was like, but I saw him at the pool today. He's like, did he have arms at the pool today? And
I
was like,
no, no, I don't think he did.
I guess the towel was covering
it. I was like, fuck, man. But that happened also. You know what? You ever do something on stage that you're like, oh, I've never done this before. I don't know why I'm going to do this now. But you just, you know, your brain just tells you to do something.
Yep. Tom, Cincinnati Funny Bone. I look over to a table and both girls are wearing pink ribbons and shirts that say, I'm a survivor. And so what does my brain go? Did you guys have breast cancer? Why the fuck would I ask
that right away?
I said, did you guys have breast cancer? Because I'm doing crowd work, and I see the shirts, and I'm reading, I'm a survivor. As I go, did you guys have breast cancer? My brain's going, prank caller, get out of this, now. And they're like, yeah, we did, and I do. And I was like.
And you do your bit? You did your breast cancer bit?
I don't have one. I just am now starting a bit of, I go, awesome. And then one of the girls is, I was like, so how was it? And she was like, it's horrible. It's a horrible experience.
How was it? It was awesome, man.
I'm like, why the fuck am I talking about this? And then, so then finally I brought them on stage and we did a show. One girl had beat it and the other girl was in the process of beating it. She's like, I pretty much beat it, but I don't want to jinx it. My mom has it. Like everyone. And then, so we brought them on stage. And we did a shot of tequila. You ready for how I got out of it?
How?
I gave the girl my phone number on stage and I said, look, if you're ever, the girl that was still kind of going through chemo. I said, if you're ever having a shitty day. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you my phone number. If you're ever having a depressed, shitty day and you just want to get cheered up and that's it, no questions asked, just get cheered up, call me and I will recognize your number and I will just start doing material. And I was like, I'll just start doing material until you start laughing or until you hang up. And
what?
She said, she said, are you serious? And the crowd's now applauding. And I go, yep. I gave her my number.
And then the other party had like, oh, I'm so glad I backpedaled out of that shit.
I'm fucking like, how the fuck? But you just
and you're like, I also want to have a check and I wanted to give it to you. Yeah. And you can just spend this
and
on
guys,
whatever you
guess
want.
What? Yeah, I fucking so bad. I did it. I've done it. You were in the room. Do you remember what you were in the room when I.
Oh my God. This is one of my favorite times ever. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. So we were doing stand up in Brea and it was like a. Was it a three man or four? Was it like it was a
three? Me, you, and Adam Richman.
Yes, not the guy.
Not
from
the guy from Man vs. Food. The comedian Adam. Right. Adam Richman.
Right. So we're on stage. Well, I think Adam goes up. I go up. You go up.
Yes.
And it's not. Anyways, I get off stage, and I think I had noticed. Yeah, during the show, there was a guy in like the second
not
row.
Not paying attention.
He's kind of looking off to the side, and he's wearing glasses. Right. Sunglasses.
Yep.
So
cool guy.
Yeah, you're like, and you do see people like that sometimes, like, you know, at shows, like, so you get up there and you're like, what the fuck's up with this guy? Like, hey man, you're like, you're too cool for the room or something? Like, what's up with the shades? And then his table's like, ah, he's blind. And you're like, oh,
and
really?
I go, at least you could have pointed him towards the stage. Yeah. Because they set him sideways.
He's
just looking at the door.
And you're like, don't your ears tell you that I'm talking from over here?
Yeah, you can't hear this. And then
you're like, oh, I have so many questions. Oh, I have so many questions for you because you're blind. And I've never met anybody that's blind before.
And then I said, first question, how do you know when you're done wiping your ass? And he goes, I don't know. And I went, what do you mean you don't know? Now I'm like, oh, they're fucking with me. He's not
blind.
Yeah. And then I go, okay, you don't know? And he goes, I don't know, man. And I go, then how hard is it to clear a room before you jerk off? That's got to be tough.
Well, you also said, I always know when I'm done wiping because it's brown, brown, red.
No. Oh, yeah, maybe I did.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
Which I think might be Bob Biggerstaff's joke.
Is it?
I don't know. And now that you say that, I'm like, I think that's Bob Biggerstaff's joke.
Well, it was kind of like really in the moment.
Or something
was
about.
It didn't seem like a.
It's something about blooding. Blood.
Yeah, yeah.
And all so right. that is Bob Bickerstaff's joke. So if I did say that, I took Bob Bickerstaff's
joke.
This
was like 7 years ago.
Oh, then it's not Bob Bickerstaff's joke.
It was a long time ago.
So, yeah. So so then I go.
Bob Bickerstaff is a great
fucking
comic
hilarious comic from Houston. Hilarious.
Yeah.
So then I say, how do you know when you're, how hard is it to clear a room for you to jerk off?
Right.
And he goes, I don't know. And I go, then clearly you're not blind. And he goes, fuck you. And yeah. I went, what? I go, I'm being serious right now. You've never jerked off. And he goes, no. And I said, and you've never jerked off. You're blind. You've never jerked off. And he goes, what the fuck, man? What the fuck? And stands up and starts stumbling his way out.
Yeah, yeah.
And someone grabs his arm and they walk him out. And I go, I call bullshit. And someone at his table goes, he just got blind last week.
Yeah.
That's right.
And he just went blind. So he just basically was saying, I haven't jerked off this week that I went blind.
I haven't jerked off in a week. And I'm sure he's still trying to figure out shitting.
It's been a pretty rough week, man.
It's been a rough week.
I haven't been jerking off a lot.
And Adam Richman goes, do you want to file a complaint? Do you remember that?
Yeah, he's like,
he goes, pulls him aside. He goes, would you like to file a complaint?
He's like, you guys, he's like, sorry about that. And they're like, yeah, he just complained. He's like, yeah, Bert's kind of, you know, that's kind of.
So you have to go. We have 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, shit. Oh, yeah, we got to go. All right. Yeah, go ahead.
Hold on. We have 5 minutes.
Okay.
In this past year, I've gotten a lot of fans from Bert the Conqueror that are not typical comedy fans. I got a blind guy and a deaf chick, not the same night, but weekend to weekend, back to back.
And a lot of young kids,
the
too.
Deaf chick, yes. Yeah. And so the deaf chick was fantastic. It's a little hacky what I did because I've done it before. I did it when I used to tour with, what's his name? And I did it. I had a phone. They had a translator on stage. And I was like, and the translator wouldn't respond to me. It's just her job to translate. So I turned my back to the deaf chick and I was like, I hope this guy doesn't take long. I got to take a dump.
Yeah.
And then she did that to the deaf chick. And then the deaf chick laughed. And I'd never heard a deaf person laugh before.
Oh, yeah.
It's the most unfiltered joy. You just like, and I couldn't stop laughing because it was the best laugh. It was the most genuine.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you hear your laugh and you change it a little bit.
Yeah.
She didn't change it at all. And I was like, oh my God. And then I started doing that. What I did with at that college that I got in trouble for was I started going, hey, how do you say suck a dick?
Yeah.
And the girl's like, and then the deaf girl's like, like whatever they make, noise they make. So then I said to her, I was like, it's Leanne. I go, come in!
I gotta get the door.
Okay, go get it.
Okay.
Oh, I'll just wait here on the podcast by myself. Now would be a great time to mention some of my sponsors. I'm sponsored by Combos. They taste so delighting. You know, Combos sent me like boxes of free Combos, right?
I cannot believe you got the combo people that fired up.
So that happened with the deaf chick, and then she was, and then I said to her on stage, I was like, I go, can I be dead honest with you?
Yeah,
I'm dying to know what you sound like when you blow a dude, because I bet it just sounds like, because you know people don't want to make noises, but she doesn't know. She's like,
and lets a lot of like,
like doesn't know that. So then she thought that was fucking hilarious. Cut to next week, I'm in Hartford. There's a blind guy in the front row, sunglasses, staring off to the side. And I say to him, I go, sir, I'm guessing you're blind. And he's like, yes, I am. And I go, what, I said, what brought you out tonight just to get out? And he goes, no, I'm a fan. Of course, I go, well, do you watch my show? No, clearly he doesn't. He's blind.
Yeah.
So I said, man, I got to ask you a question. I got in trouble for asking this question before. I'm dying to know if this is, how this works. How do you know when you're done wiping your ass? And he doesn't miss a beat. And he goes, I wipe until it hurts. I go, fucking awesome. And then I go, how hard is it to clear a room before you jerk off? He goes, impossible. You just stop caring. So then I go, like, I fucking love this guy. So then his waitress comes up, and his waitress is really pretty. I go, hey, man, can you judge how pretty someone is by their voice? And he goes, yeah, I go, do you think your waitress is hot? And he goes, she sounds attractive. I go, do me a favor, feel her face and tell me if you think she's hot. So this poor waitress is like, what? And then the guy just grabs her by the face and starts feeling her face. He goes, nah. Just fucking bet.
That's
Leanne,
amazing.
We're wrapping it up. Come say goodbye.
Bye. You can, oh, here. Let
this
me,
is my wife.
Let me get her on camera. She's not here. She's not here. Oh. Just a dude party. Oh, here, nice. Hold on.
Here,
guys, this is Bert's wife. Yeah,
you're on camera. All right. That was a really fun podcast today.
It was a blast. Guys, thanks for listening. Where are you? Are you any live dates coming up or
in
no?
July.
Okay. Christina is, where is she right now? She is at the Newport Funny Bone in right outside of
That's
Cincinnati.
The one where I asked the woman about breast cancer.
Oh, good. I'll tell her that. And then next week, she's in Denver at the Denver Improv. And I will be next week at the Hartford Funny Bone. And
that's where I met the blind guy and asked the waitress about me making him feel her face.
I definitely will.
I made him feel everyone's face. And then, anyone that walked by, I was like, grab her face. Tell me if she's hot.
Then we're going to do Louisville. I'm doing Louisville the week after. And
Louisville's where I kicked out a chick and called her Macy Gray. And then she tried to bring as many white people out with her as possible.
Excellent. You have a really good track record at all these clubs.
I'm telling you the bad ones. I'm not telling you how to kill. Come on.
And May 23rd, we're going to do a live episode of Your Mom's House from the John Lovitz Comedy Club.
Ooh.
So make sure you go to johnlovitzcomedyclub.com. We're going to have like a few. You said you might be able to do it. So
when is it?
May 23rd. We talked about
this. Oh, yeah. Who else is going to be on it?
There's a couple others. I can't
give you a hint.
Somebody,
just whisper it. No one's...
Somebody famous. I'll talk to you. I'll tell you in a second.
Okay.
Thank you guys for listening. We'll do this again soon. We love you very much. And something to fucking get you out of here. Sorry.
Hey, follow me on Twitter, please.
Okay.
If you don't already.
Follow Bert on Twitter, please, if you don't already. What's your Twitter handle? Give everybody.
Bert, BERTKREIS. Thanks. You turn the music on. CHER. There we go.
Bert Kreischer.
It's
really
just
easy.
Fucking Tom just tweeted me.
All right. And
God rest. God bless MCA.
MCA, man.
And Junior Seau.
Junior Seau, rest in peace. We love you. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye. Trying to rob the throne. It's the logical reaction that I've